afternoon as I was studying, I ran across something that I believe has merit for this night. It's called the Valley of Decision, Joel 3:14. Multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley, there is innumerable multitudes in the Valley of Decision. The day of the Lord is at hand. The multitudes are members, are mentioned twice, and this is a witness testimony against them. This word means a noise. Its root meaning, to make loud, a loud sound, to be in great, lively commotion, to rage, to roar, to moan, to clamor, etc. All the nations in Joel 3:2 will be brought to the Valley of Decision, and the threshing floor is the place of shifting and sifting and separation. The place of judgment. David, the man of Zion, learned to pay the full price of doing everything God's way at the threshing floor. 2 Samuel 6:6 through 10. 24 and 24. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 9 and 13, etc. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15. Elijah, in 1 Kings 18:21, came unto all the people and said, how long shall you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. There are five decisions that all of humankind must make in the Valley of Decision. So if you want to come up, I'd appreciate your presence to me right now. Please come up. I'm going to give you what these five are. And then you can make your own decision. I'm not good at making decisions for other people. I usually goof up on my own. So I don't need any help to make a mess. Anybody give me an amen?
Amen.
I want you to close your eyes. I want you to concentrate on this word. In Gethsemane, the olive press, the Mount of Olives, this is the decision to surrender our will to God's will. Anybody got an amen?
Amen.
The Valley of Berakah, which is blessings, where Jehoshaphat and his people gathered to bless God for a battle won by praise. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 through 26. This is the decision to let God fight every battle. Ah, some people are catching on. In other words, you can rest through a war. Number three, the place where the Jews historically buried worn-out rolls of Scripture. This is the decision to honor and reverence the Word of God. Ah. Number four, King Melchizedek, Genesis 14 through 17, in the Valley of Shaveh, the plane of the double of equalization, resemblance to adjustment. As identified by the Jewish historian Josephus, this is the decision to identify with the more excellent ministry. The king-priest ministry of forgiveness and blessing. Hebrews 5, verse 1. And then verse 8 through 6. The fifth decision, Absalom. A momentum. 2 Samuel 18:18. Which was in the same vicinity. This is the decision to honor true spiritual authority. If there's true, there's also false. Agreed?
Agreed.
So you have the decision to honor true spiritual authority. This valley of decision is present as well as future. It centers at the cross, where Jesus was flanked between two thieves. Two decisions. One chose to preserve himself. The other chose to be forgiven and restored to paradise and the kingdom. A quality decision is one that is made but once. With regards to the five applications of the Valley of Jehoshaphat given above, choose you this day. Are you ready? Those of you who are ready, repeat after me. Surrender your will.
Surrender your will.
To the will of God.
To the will of God.
Do I choose to do this?
Do I choose to do this?
The answer is in your heart. Praise be to God in every circumstance. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Every set of circumstances. I will place before you. And praise my way through it.
It's up to me.
Love and study the Word of God. Yeah, try it on. Love and study the Word of God until it becomes a reality for me. And let no man's opinion rule my heart. Hallelujah. The next one, number four, is forgive everyone for everything. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I can activate my will, and I can forgive
everyone for everything.
No holds barred.
That includes me.
The one I usually hold accountable.
Tonight.
I set myself free. Hallelujah. Number five, submit to the King and His kingdom. Lord, I'm ready.
To submit to you.
As the King of my life.
And your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
I will rejoice.
To respect your authority.
Your kingship.
And your spiritual authority.
Over me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I knew I had two messages tonight, and I didn't know how it was going to work, but I know that word, that those five commitments to really submit to the Lord were in this book, and it's really a prophetic picture. And by the way, the sun and the moon are visible in Joel 2. So you might be interested that there's an opinion from God's point of view of what the sun and the moon mean. Okay. So can we just bow our heads? Because without Him anointing this word, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to crash. So Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Unless you anoint it, it's just going to be another word. And it's probably going to bring guilt and condemnation, and I don't want that. So the most important thing is to release this word so that it will provide healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. The first question I have is, and I don't want you to look around, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to answer this question by raising your hand without looking around. How many of you could use some more money? Okay, very good. All right, that's pretty good. Thank you. Now, I know it's a trick question, but I love tricks, especially when there's a solution. Okay? It's wonderful when you know that there's a solution to your problem. Okay? So I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because I don't talk about money. In fact, most of you probably know that if I talk about money once a year, that's about it. Tonight happens to be talking about money. And it's not to bring any guilt or condemnation. It's to give you an answer to your questions. Now, verse 10 is the verse that I want to really concentrate on. It says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Whoa. Wow. He. Who is the he? It's God. "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed." Now what does that mean? That's your bank account. Amen? It's not you that's going to do it. It's he. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All I'm going to tell you is, as I was reading this morning, I was reminded that God gave me a special gift this past weekend, and I'm not going to go into the details of it. All that I can tell you is we've had two individuals in the body, one who was transported miraculously, and they know it, from place to place. The other had a multiplication take place and were watching it as it happened. And I thought, okay, this is cool. And today, when I read this, it came alive and it said, "He who supplies seed to the sower." Well, the one who sows is the one who gives. So, the one who gives and plants gets more seed, and it will increase your store of seeds, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, the harvest of your righteousness is also connected in the realm of obedience. When you give financially to the right field, if you put money where it's supposed to go, God will honor it. But I can tell you that if you're smart, you won't put your money or your seed in a place where it cannot produce. Okay? And if you don't pray, you won't get a harvest. Now, I'll give you an example. I have a person that I've known for many, many years. And a few years back, I had planted 5 tomato plants in a little patch behind the swimming pool. Normally, we used to have a great big garden. And this neighbor and his wife, she has a relationship with the Lord to a degree, and attends church, but he refuses. So their piece of land is the same dirt that mine is. It's just, you know, a dividing line supernaturally that's there. And I was getting tomatoes, and theirs are rotting on the vine. And they go out there, and he would just water every plant with a little container and water every plant and getting no harvest. And me, I'm giving them tomatoes. And one day, the wife said to me, because I was just, you know, kind of putting a little bit of grass clippings around the bottom so that when the plant gets heavy and I pull off a few of the little bad sections of the plant, and she says, "You know," she says, "I can't understand." She says, "We used to have a garden and it used to grow." And she says, you got this little tiny patch with 5 plants and you're supplying us. And we've got about 2 dozen and we can't even get any tomatoes. She says, what's the difference? I said, well, when I pray, I said, when I plant the plants, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm letting God bless the land and making sure that all the nutrients that they need will come. And I said, and I water, and the Lord waters, and I says, that's it. I said, I just wait for the harvest. So I says, you can tell your husband, that's all it is. Oh, she says, that's hopeless. What's wrong with the picture? 2 years later, he quit making a garden. What does that tell you? See, first of all, if she understood this principle, she might intercede for him. But she's not. But she's totally disgusted with his choices. So she's mad at him. So while she's mad at him, what happens to the land? It doesn't get transformed. It doesn't get changed. The seeds won't come. The increase won't come. And we keep on the same road of destruction. Verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he hath decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Why does he insist on putting righteousness right in there with finances and seeds? Why? Anybody got a clue? Because he wants you to rely on him, which is the answer in verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. It's not the neighbor's store of seed. It is your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Why? Why does he want to enlarge your harvest of righteousness? Yes. And as you increase this and you open your heart more, you also learn to trust. Amen? Now, you cannot operate in the realm of spirit without choosing to trust. Because if you don't choose to trust, what's going to happen? You're going to go by the natural understanding and you're going to say, well, the neighbor gets blessed and I don't get blessed, so... tough cookies. I ain't going. I ain't doing. But the word says, you will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion through us. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their heart will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's better incredible. It's both. I like them both. Why am I giving you that insight tonight? Because I believe you need to be aware that every single time that you step out in faith, and that you obey him. And the nudge comes to do that you carry out the commission. God looks at you and says, okay, look at this. This is my kid. Okay? Now, I think you have a couple of boys that play ball. What happens when they get a home run? What happens to Papa? He's happy. Yeah. What happens to Mama?
She's happy.
Happy too. Why? Because what? You're proud of him. Why?
They did a good job.
They did a good job. And it reflects on who? Close your eyes for a minute. Say, every time my righteousness, starts growing. My Heavenly Father gets excited. He's excited about me. He gets excited and happy. Because when I do a spiritual home run and obey my Father and obey the authorities that God has given me, the righteousness increases in me. And there's extra seed in my wallet. So that I can give more. To please God even more. For the glory will go to Him. And my supply will not diminish. So I can feel now my bank account growing. Because He's going to make the seed. Increase. Because that's His promise. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Now that should have touched somebody tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, dear?
Well, it's not a question, but maybe it is. That this totally means money.
No, it's not just money.
Just money.
It's everything. Everything that you give out. I had a lady that was part of our prayer group many years ago. And she had made a garden. So what does she do? She decides that she's going to give out some zucchinis. So she gave out zucchinis. And she gave out zucchinis every week. Okay? And the one that knows this person is not here tonight. But it's kind of cool because... Anyway, she calls me and she says, Kim, she says, did you make a garden this year? And I said, no. She said, would you stop by? She says, I have something for you. And she says, I just can't figure it out. Now, they had a good-sized family. And she says, so I got there and I pulled up in front of the garage and she opens the garage door. And when she opens the garage door... there must be at least 15 great big baskets. Some plastic, some wooden ones. And they're all full of zucchini. And she says, I'm not quite happy with God. I said, well, what's your problem? I said, you've got to harvest. No, no, she says, these aren't the ones that grew. She says, everybody's bringing me zucchini. What'd you take some home? I said, well, if you keep on giving zucchinis, you're going to get some more. Oh, she says, is that how it works? I said, yeah. I said, well, she says, I need money. I said, then start giving some away. Oh. I said, if you want to harvest the tomatoes, give out tomatoes. Oh, is that how it works? I said, yeah, that's how it works. I said, if you want to get a new wardrobe, give out some clothes. Oh. It can't be working that way, she says. I said, well, the scripture says, as you give out, you shall receive. It's up to you. And it was comedy. I mean, it really was funny. I mean, we did have a good laugh at it. We laughed for quite a while. But in reality, it was a testimony as well. It was a testimony. I said, if you give of yourself, God will reap. with multiples of levels of righteousness within you. Don't be afraid to give. But I says, it's got to be directed by the Lord. Well, she says, we had an abundance. I said, yes, you did. But I said, now, if you want abundance in other areas, put some seeds in accordingly. That's quite exciting. But it's a harvest of obedience that I want to see. I want to see a harvest of obedience, because that's where God would say, well done, my faithful servant. Well done. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't give money now. Don't get me wrong. Money's part of it. But I am not going to go around and pass a basket and force you to give and push. I mean, I've seen so much of that, it turns my stomach. Okay? And I'm not against those who do it. That's up to them. But you won't see it here. Not when I'm here. Okay? Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you now that you will confirm this word to their hearts. That you will make it so clear that they will understand how you work and how you do things and how much you want to bless these people. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
And amen.